So welcome back from the Desk of Low. You may have seen his name on multiple, you know, familiar artists out there who may be some of your most favorite artists out there. This man worked with somebody in my top five, Ken Crooked, past guest, my guy Big Vish, Kid Vicious, KRS-One, and even the pop star JoJo. So without further introduction, I'd like to proudly introduce Spoke Reel.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. So we got to acknowledge the dope producers out there, too, because for the people who may not be familiar with you, man, some of your beats go off. I got to give you that. Whew.
Thank you.
So what made you actually want to get into producing, Spoke Reel? And did you always want to be a producer?
You know, I've been in playing music since I was about 15.
Okay.
I'm 49 now. You know, I started out playing guitar, and you know, I played in some bands. Maybe about 25 years ago, I started. You know, like one of the guys, and you know, I'm from Savannah. Okay. One of the people who he recorded, I had a band here, and he recorded our band, and I got into working in the studio a lot with him and on that album. And from that, I started, you know, it's like I started realizing, you know, it's like this is way back even when a lot of computer music was starting. You know, I just got into making beats there. I started working for him at the studio and, you know, making beats then, you know, and he had a lot of rappers and things that would locally come through, and I started working. That's really how I got into making beats.
Okay. So would you say you're familiar with analog then?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because a lot of these producers, you say analog, and they're like, "Is it on MacBook?" It's like, no, man, this is like way back in the '90s, bro.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it kind of threw me for a loop there, because you know, so much of it is now just digital. You know, I mean, people can produce now, like right in their living room and all. I mean, even back then, it was just more common. You know, you would go to an actual recording studio. You know, but yeah, I mean, now you can just produce right in your, and I have a studio at home where I work, but you can produce in your living room with a computer, you know?
Yeah, that's basically, and it sounds just perfect as it was back in the day too, but because we're not knocking digital stuff at all.
Huh?
Because we're not knocking the digital era at all.
Oh, no, not at all. I love it, man. I love, like, I make music all different kinds of ways, and I'm so into, you know, the digital aspect of it. And you're right, I mean, you know, you can get samples and stuff, you know, and they're already mastered for you and they sound great. And that's, you know, that's the digital world. It's just like, you know, that same sound just repeats. So, and, you know, a lot of people use samples and things. I do, you know, and they just sound good already. You don't have to do much to them.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, like, the way that producers actually come around to produce, and too, there's always an interesting story behind that too, especially how they come up with the name or their name was given to them. I was curious on how you came up with Spoke Reel, because that name stands out, and I'm all about names who would stand out.
You know, I forgot the concept. You know, it's kind of an odd concept. It was something that my father-in-law mentioned to me, actually, and I can't really remember what it is, but the idea of like a spoke, you know, like the center of the wheel, and then the spokes reach out, you know, in each spoke, and you know, that's kind of how I thought of it, like, as a producer in the center, and I worked with so many different artists, you know, a lot of local artists, and I was just, you know, it's just like each spoke is almost like a different artist I work with.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm quite explaining, because there's an actual concept behind that, like, you know, the center of an idea, and then it branches out into different ideas, and it's kind of like this, just as a music producer, I'm into rock, I'm into rap, I'm into a number of different things, and I'm always kind of seeking, you know, different artists like that in some way.
Yeah,
different genres.
Yeah, because as a producer too, you can't strictly stick to one genre if you want to be great at something too. You have to venture off and find out other genres too, like rock or country is like what you said too. So for when you are venturing out into like actually finding other genres too, can you name like some of your most favorite rock bands or some of the most favorite bands you just came across or just discovered music?
Like rock bands?
Yes, sir.
So many. When I started playing guitar, You know, that was like in a when metal was really big. And, you know, I go back that far. I mean, Van Halen.
Oh, wow.
Guns N' Roses, Rush. And, I mean, as a guitar player, I learned a lot of those songs. You know, I learned a lot of the songs that they played.
Oh,
so I'm going away, but, you know, Nirvana and grunge. And I played in a band in St. Augustine while I was going to school there called Evergreen. That was really grunge influenced. Then later on, I moved to Savannah to school here at SCAD. And I played in a band here, and it was kind of like a ska punk kind of band. So, you know, like, man, there's just so many, but maybe the forefathers are like Rush and Van Halen and a lot of metal, you know, a lot of metal music from way back then is where it all begins.
Wow, you said Rush. Wow, not a lot of wow. See, most people, when they hear Rush, they won't think of, have you ever, because I found Rush in the most weirdest way. Have you ever seen the show Trailer Park Boys? Have you ever seen the show Trailer Park Boys?
No, you know, I can't say that I have.
Okay, well, Rush actually appeared on it, too. And it's a Canadian-based TV show where it's a bunch of drunk Trailer Park Boys. But it's a weird hell of a show. But anyway, that's how I found Rush, because that's an actual band that appeared on that show and they got kidnapped. And when Bubbles was playing that guitar, I was like, yo, that song sounds... I forget what it was, though, but... Man, Rush has been around for a long, long time, and for them to appear in something like so comical, like a Trailer Park Boys, too, that was like late 2008, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, well, I don't really know too much about if they're going on to, I mean, they may have actually kind of taken a break, maybe.
Yeah.
They were really strong influences, guitar player Alex Lifeson was, and just the band in general, because they're just so musical. Yeah, you know, three people that just make a huge sound. And I've seen them live a couple times. You know, they just sound perfect. They're
just like how they do on the record?
It's like, yeah, I mean, they sound just like the record, super tight. I think that's why so many people air guitar and air drum to them. Because, like, you go to a concert and it's like so much of that. But, you know, it's just very, you know, musical and into the music and... yeah, they were a huge influence on me, for sure.
Okay, and that song I was referring to in that Trailer Park Boys episode, it was titled "Closer to the Hurt."
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I know it.
All right.
Awesome song.
I'll send you the link up to that when that guy. It's only like a minute clip, but you'll enjoy that after this interview. So
sure.
I was curious too on your very first hip hop placement, Spoke Wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have tracks with people like Ken Crooked or Crooked Eye or Hybrid, Kid Vicious,
yes.
Even JoJo, even Lil Wayne. Wow, jeez.
Those, they're just different, you know, like with Crooked Eye and Kid Vicious, you know, I was introduced to them through Hitmakers and Tony Booker is my friend.
Okay.
You know, he kind of, you know, I met him quite a while back now, maybe 4 or 5 years, and, you know, he kind of introduced me to them, and I think, you know, I really started working with them, making, like, these rock rap beats.
Yes.
And, you know, I've sent, you know, you know, like, with Crook, I have God Bless Dope Rappers and Easy Back It Up. Those are tracks that we've done over the years, and, you know, they're very rock-oriented. You know, and that kind of, you know, through him, he kind of introduced me to them, you know, Kid Vicious, you know, I've done tracks with him too, and I'm going to continue to try to work with both of them a little bit. You know, I kind of got into them doing rock and rap kind of combination, but I, you know, I mean, some of the newer stuff that I did with them is more like rap beats, trap beats, just any, you know, I try to make something they just want to go over.
Yeah, because I like how you said that God Bless Dope Rappers, it has like a rock influence too, because that is Noah Kinn, for the people who don't know. That track right there, it was like actually one of the very first tracks I ever heard from you too. And then recently, you produced, this is like probably the most played song from 2019, is The Lost Rapper Experience that you did with Crook. Dude, that sounds incredible, the production on that. I was wondering how you came to you about that.
Say that last part again.
The production on that track is incredible, and I was wondering how you came to hear about that.
Well, you know, really, I mean, I got to give Crook, you know, I kind of, you know, they say I produced it, but I mean, I really co-produced it with Crooked Eye.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, he, you know, like some of those beats I had sent, you know, he's been holding on to a few of those for a while. You know, it's like four beats kind of put into one song, the concept of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he really kind of, you know, he took those beats and, you know, we talked occasionally and we were talking, you know, and kind of the concept, you know, because I'm also a visual artist, you know, I do a lot of painting. So, you know, I mean, I just kind of like, I think from our talk, he just, you know, he wanted, you know, we were getting ready to do something and, you know, he just wanted to do something creative, like a story, something a little different. And, you know, so he kind of, you know, he put those beats kind of together. I got it, you know, in his engineer and all. They really kind of put that all together in some ways.
Okay.
So, you know, like I co-produce it with him, and I mean, really the sound comes from that, you know, the way they did that. I mean, I'm in a little bit of amazement because he took the four tracks, you know, and put it into a story. It worked so well and everything.
Well, and like I like how you said too, you're a visual producer too, because like the things that he's saying on that too, like it made me during the third song, that third beat that comes in. If you have people who ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut, that's a reference to that. I was like, God damn, you know, this is. See, if most people
I thought the same thing. You know,
I just had to ask.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot like it. It does, like the story is kind of, he throws that in there, and it is kind of like similar to Eyes Wide Shut.
So when you actually sat back and heard the full song in like the full 11 minutes, it is. What was your reaction on that too? Like, did you have to replay it a couple times? Like, holy shit.
Man, I've like, you know, maybe it's just because, you know, being lucky enough to make a track with Crook. You know, but I've listened to that thing hundreds of times since getting him. You know, we've had it for a while. You know, I mean, it's been out. You know, I've listened to it for a while, and I mean, for a good man, for like months. I mean, I listened to it and I still listen to it. It's like in my playlist. I kind of analyze it and all.
I don't blame you.
You know, because it's so different, like a 11 minute song. Excuse me, my voice is kind of like cracking up, man.
Oh yeah, no worries.
You know, like the 11-minute song and the four different tracks. Like the last track, I thought of even maybe, you know, putting out as a single, maybe, because just the nature of it and like the history of Crook, because it's like he's so much into that track, you know, his history.
Yeah.
It's neat.
Well, also too, like I love when rappers get into like they tap into that personal space about them too, because that's what draws people to music, and that's what makes timeless music that people can relate to and being able to produce that. That must make you feel like, wow, people like actually love this beat.
I mean, it does. I mean, I'm really just thrilled to even, you know, have done it and been a part of it with him. Because, it's, you know, it's just different, too. It's just like being so long.
Exactly.
You know, being a long track and everything, it's just different.
Well, because it's not your average track. Most average tracks like 3 to 4 minutes. This is like a full 11-minute song that you can have your coffee to.
Oh, I know.
I did a couple times. I'll keep it a buck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you actually work with one of the people who are considered the teachers of hip-hop, too, KRS-One-Two. You actually got two tracks with him.
Yes, those are, you know, I was able to get a hold of, this is through Holy Toledo Productions, which is another M80, if you know him. And, you know, I was able to just get the rights to those to use them. You know, and a lot of the, you know, a lot of the tracks... That, I'm sorry, man, my voice is like all getting cracked up.
Oh yeah, no, it's all good. You sound perfectly fine on this end too.
But you know, that's how I've gotten, you know, I have the, you know, I just have the rights to a number of them. You know, I kind of just was able to get them. And so, you know, a lot of those, like those are exclusive. The KRS-Ones are exclusive. I solely am able to use them. And so, you know, I mean, these are just tracks I'm working on and mixing. It's like I get an acapella and then put a song to it.
Okay. Then,
you know, like the JoJo is like that. A number of them, you know, and I have a number of them coming out. So I'm pretty excited about, like, with Busta Rhymes, Rick Ross.
Oh, wow.
trying to think who else I... you know, I have like a, it's like a bunch of them, you know, so I'm, it's kind of like an aspect of the last year of things I've been working on, because being able to get those, you know, it's like working with like great, right? Like Gucci Mane, I have with the hymn coming out.
Okay.
But they're not, you know, it's like these are just acapellas and I have the license to use them and everything.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, but at least you're being honest about it too, because most people, you never know, right? See, that's what I always gravitate to, is like people being honest about that too, because.
Oh,
like,
yeah, oh yeah, you know, I mean, it's you know, it's all, the process is all good, you know.
What?
I'm glad to be able to do them because it's just a neat, it's a neat aspect.
Well, and also, too, like, not to say, too, like, you actually worked, like, personally with some of these rappers that you actually worked with, too, not just saying you got the license to the vocal, like, the Crooked Eye and the Big Vicious. Because I know Vish. Vish are always open to collaborate with people.
Oh, yeah. And I just love, collaborating. And you never know what he's going to do, you know, and he tries different things. I put out two recently with him. I have a good, you know, album with him. You know, of just songs that I've already done with them.
And as a producer, too, do you always listen to some of your most, your unreleased tracks before you put them out? Because that's what I love about a producer, too, because they have access to something that the world doesn't even have access to yet.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I work at home, and I'm here all the time, you know, just listening to music, and I have playlists of all these tracks, you know, that I've done. And I do listen to them. I do continue to work on them. I mean, it's almost like it never ends in some way. Like some songs I'll listen to for, you know, some songs I'll listen to for a very long time and then just do one more thing to them, you know. Especially like with these remixes, the acapella remixes that I'm talking about. I mean, these songs have like sat around for months and months and months, and I, you know, I just listen to them going down the line of a playlist. And you know, yeah, I mean, I might, you know, might listen to them for like months and then do like one more thing with it to make it in my mind done.
Yeah, because sometimes like you have to listen to something a couple times to get it right too. It won't come overnight. Well, sometimes it will.
Yeah. Sometimes they come quick. I have a, you know, Tony at, you know, Hitmakers, he gave me a bunch of acapellas from Horseshoe Gang album.
Okay.
I'm trying to think which one it's from. I think it was from Four Brothers, I think. And they've been kind of hard because I don't have the BPM to them, but I just did one. It just, like, came together in like 30 minutes, and it was, like, almost done. Like, I had a beat. I had a bass with it. It was synced perfectly with the vocal, which I almost don't know how I did because I didn't have the BPM. But it just came out. You know, I'm getting ready to, that one I'm probably going to put out pretty quick, I think.
Okay. Yeah, because they're killing it with the Family Business out there, coming out there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm always following them and their new stuff and Crook and all that. Always following them.
So let's say if somebody wants to work with a spoke wheel too, do you sell your beats too, or do you just like pretty much DM you too, or do you have a website too? Because I was always curious about how producers or how other upcoming artists can get a hold of the producer.
You know, if somebody wanted to, they could just contact me directly and I would talk. I know a lot of producer, you know, it's like I kind of just make music for myself. I make it for, you know, like I think about Crook a lot, and I have a lot of beats here that I've just kind of been looking on, and then at some point I might send them to him and, you know, see what he thinks of them, see if he wants to, you know, do anything with any of them, you know. You know, I kind of work a lot like that a lot, but if anyone, you know, anyone's, I mean, you know, sometimes people might ask me for beats, I might send them something. I don't normally sell them. I'm usually fine with almost, you know, what I really like is to get the music. I like to get the finished song myself and almost put it out. You know, I put, you know, depending on the track, you know, I put some promotion into it and try to get streams for it. And then, you know, doing that kind of thing. But, you know, anyone, you know, if somebody hears like a beat, like if I post some beats on my Instagram or some, if they like it, I probably almost, you know, depending on, you know, I'd listen to them, you know, hear it. And if I like them, you know, I'd probably just let them, you know, use the beat. At least at this point, you know.
Yeah.
I know people sell them for leases. You know, I think, you know, I could do that, you know, just sell it for as a lease. Or I think, you know, producers do that, like selling as leases or an exclusive, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten too much into that yet myself.
Well, it's your passion, too, because you can clearly tell it's your passion, too, because you're not, like, driven by money behind it, too, because it's like what you said, too, you make music for yourself.
Yeah, and it's just a great passion. I'm kind of fortunate because I work at home, so I have my studio, and, I'm, like, kind of always making beats while I'm always, you know, working, so.
There's nothing wrong with that, living the dream.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You work with closely with Hybrid the Rapper, too. I was wondering how that relationship mm-hmm. came about.
I met him on Facebook years and years ago. And, he was just a guy producing music, putting it out there. He produces a lot of music. And I wrote him one day, and I was just like, hey, man, I produce music. I'd love to send you something. And he was like, sure, he's just really open to it. A lot of times I find artists, they're not really
open to it.
They're kind of, they're not as open, to just making music to make music. And he is, to this day, I remain his friend, and we've produced, like 100-120 songs.
Oh yeah, I see.
And, I send him music. He records his own self on them and gets them mastered and everything. And, ever since, we're in the rap, we're in the country rap, country music, singing, with music with singing and just kind of a country influence kind of style.
Okay.
That day, years ago when I contacted him, I sent him a beat, and this was actually like a, something for a rap on it, and 2 days later he sent me it back and it was done.
He's like, wow, that was fast.
We've just been working ever since. Oh. I wish I could find more of him. People just want to make music and are able to do what he does, because he puts out, he's always working and, making music. He's my bro, I always, every now and then I get up with him. I just sent him maybe 5 or 6 beats about a month ago that I think he's starting to work on. But, he's sitting on 2 albums.
Oh, wow.
That we've done that. He's sitting on 2, and I think we're going to do like another rap influenced album. I've heard some of it that he did, and I love what he did with them. And maybe even before those 2 albums, I might put that one out. It's kind of like either a rap EP or a small rap album with him. But always working with him, Ever since that day, I wrote him. We've just always been working together.
And you gotta love social media for that too. It's like the power of the internet.
Yeah. That's what that is.
Well, some of your most standout tracks that I've seen, because I'm all about tracks that have, like, standout names. I'm all about things that stand out. So when I hear, like, tracks like Blue Medicine or, like, Vampire Love or, like, Discman, I was like, yo, these beats hit hard, too. And, like, the chemistry, like, it would have thought that you guys been working together since you guys were kids, because it just hits off so perfectly.
No, thank you. And, it really it's kind of like that, I mean, a lot of people have just, I've worked with him for a while. They come and they've gone, but he's, like, been one that we've just always, and then to this day, we just continue to work. I just think, what it is I just love making music and working, and so does he, So he's always, he works with a lot of other producers and stuff. I mean, he's quite prolific, but, he's always open to my beats and what I make. And, he really kind of liked a lot, because I play a lot of, on a lot of these, which it's kind of like you don't hear a lot of guitar-oriented trap, hip-hop kind of things. And, I do that. And so I think he really kind of he really likes that part of it. And it just works with him, because he's kind of country. He's a lot, he likes straight rap, but then he's willing to do, like, these country type of influence tracks. Could you be either like regular kind of country or rapping, like country rap?
And this is what I love about, like, the day of the internet too, because back in, like, the early 90s, people thought you had to get a major label to get on. Now you can literally make your own sound and people can gravitate it towards it, and you can just say, I made that in my living room.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. Still, I'm just seeing, it seems like, these artists that get really big, I feel like they have some kind of label behind them at some point. But everyone has a different story. Everyone has a different story about how they come up. I don't know if there's really a
blueprint,
like a rule book to it. I just think it happens different ways.
Yeah, because if there was a real book, that would probably be number one seller everywhere right now.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't it? so many people doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Making music and stuff, so.
So with you being as a producer, too, I was curious on some of your influences, too. Maybe like a DJ Premier or even like a Just Blaze.
I'm trying to think as producer. You know, probably more like Dr. Dre.
Okay.
I just think, you know, and like Snoop. What he did with Snoop, and you know, I don't know a lot of like Eminem's kind of, you know, those are you know, I don't necessarily know who even produces him. To
like,
you know,
Alex the fault. Kid, he works because I'm big on producers too. Because if I hear a track, I want to know like who the hell produced this. Because like some of his newer stuff too, Dre hasn't been that much involved too. He actually been working with a lot of new producers too, like. There's like a Mike Will Made It, Ronnie J. He has S1. He has Boy Wonder from Canada. Wow, I didn't even know that till now.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really amazing. You know, obviously, you know, he's like one of the top ones. You know, a guy like now that I really like that I've been following, and it's kind of, is Dorian Washington. I don't know. I've just been following him. I think he just produces with South Coast Music Group, and you know, I think he's worked with DaBaby, and you know, and he's kind of like, I kind of discovered him through Hitmakers, which you know, again, like Tony and him, and you know, I work with, you know, and working with all of them, and just kind of seeing the different things that different, you know, people involved with him and who work with him, and. You know, that was one that really comes up, you know, because his beats just kind of, every time I hear one of his beats, it just kind of stays in my mind for a few days, so.
Yeah, it's like something, it's like a bug. It's like, what is
the latest, you know?
It's something like a bug when you hear, like, something like that. It's like, damn, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, I get the ear bug whenever I hear the beats he makes, and, you know, it's a lot of, you know, he does a lot, I mean, and, you know, more he's finding, like, different types of production or what he's done, because he's done just so many huge. Huge albums and songs. It's kind of amazing.
Are you big on sampling?
Yeah, so who?
Are you big on sampling, Spoke Wheel?
Say that again.
Are sampling, like sampling records?
Oh, sampling. I mean, I use, you know, sample sounds. You know, aside from, you know, like the combination of live playing and sampled sounds. You know, sampling like, like, you know, like a pre-recorded recording. I haven't done, I generally don't do too much of. I know in Easy Back It Up, you know, Crook took from the Beastie Boys a track. And I was like, you know, again, I kind of, you know, that was another co-production. You know, Crook kind of took the beat and he added that in there. And you know, I was thankful for him adding him in there. It was just like a neat, you know, that's the thing, I'm pretty open, you know. And so him adding his part into it, like that he wants to make the song done, I mean, I'm with it, you know. And so he, you know.
Like what you were saying too about sampling too, would you say that you're open to like going overseas, like listening to music overseas, and you ended up finding something that like was totally different from like Romania? I was like, damn, I was going to sample this, but I ended up liking it.
I wouldn't take somebody's music necessarily, but I might try, you know, if I like a sound or I like the way something's done, you know, I might try to imitate it in my own way or depending, you know, I use this website aside from, you know, I've been doing sample production from the beginning. I was kind of amazed at it, you know, like with Magic's Music Maker and Acid, Sony Acid Pro, you know.
Okay.
I mean, this was like when the beginning, when it kind of all, I mean, it was kind of like a you know, amazing discovery, like, hey, I can just take this and actually make mute like a whole finished song, you know, you don't need a band or anything. You know, and now there's this website Splice, which I use a lot, which is just like it's like a library of thousands of sounds.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I do use it lately. I use it a lot because I like to try to find beats, like drum patterns and beats and stuff that I can use. And then I just put music on top of it, whether I play on it.
Okay.
Or, you know, like it's always a combination of playing like some keyboard or guitar or bass, because I, you know, I play all those in combination with a sound, you know, with sampled sounds, sounds that I may find, you know, like, which could be anything, you know, could literally be anything, like synth to drums to, you know, basses and 808 sounds and So I kind of work that way in a combination with samples and that, but I'm not really too. I mean, if it's a sample with singing on it, I personally wouldn't take somebody's sample without their.
Okay.
So what I was saying, you know, is just as far as you know, music today. I was thinking, you know, you could do almost, you know, you can find sounds anywhere. You can, you know, or seek, you know, like the lo-fi sound or different types of sounds. And I mean, if you can make it work, then I think, you know, it's like there's going to be people out there who will enjoy it. We just, you know, it's like when I came up, you know, like I talk about like metal, when metal was going on, that was like the big thing. And there were a lot of other music going on, but it wasn't like the big thing. And like now I just think there's, you know, everything is like a big thing in a way. If you can find like your, you know, your niche, you know, if you could be the, you know, at the top of your niche, you know, like if you're in country rap and you're at the top of it, or if you're into, you know, like lyricism and you're into that group of artists. And then it just seems like after that, there's like a subgenre, continues to be subgenres going down, and they're all legit if they can, you know, if the people who like that kind of music can find it, which it just seems like. It's just pretty open, you know?
Well, I like how you said that, too, like, about with metal, too, because, like, some of the pioneers, like a Led Zeppelin or a Deep Purple or a Black Sabbath, too, they were, like, the inspiration for all of these bands that came after, too. Like, it's crazy, like, Ozzy Osbourne, too, like, went on to have, like, a crazy solo career after that. And even with, like, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, like, they were all influenced by them.
Oh, I know, man. I mean, I remember when Metallica came out. I mean, that gives you an idea. That's when I really was getting into playing guitar. I mean, I started out, you know, playing guitar and wanting just to be a guitarist in a band. And then, you know, I just never stopped making music and, you know, come back like 30 years later. And you know, I mean, I'm at home. I work at home. I have a substantial music studio at home. It's not like a small studio. I have like, you know,
it's a just professional tons of
instruments
studio.
Instruments and different things, and you know, now I'm kind of just working with myself, making beats, and you know, I like to work with artists. I like, you know, I like meeting artists, and working with artists, and whether they're big or whether they're, you know, not all that known, but if they really want to, or they really just want to make music and see where it goes, you know. And within that, just making, you know, the sounds might change drastically from one thing to another. You know, lately, like I say, like I kind of like will find a, like a cool synth sample and a trap beat and put those together. And then I'll play the bass line on it and then maybe play live some added instrumentation into it. You know, that's kind of what I've been doing lately.
Okay. Now, I like how you said you remember when Metallica came out, because they're considered one of the most, like, I think it's like 61 on the greatest artists of all time on Rolling Stone. Have you ever, you obviously been to a Metallica show.
Well, you know what, I can't say that I have.
Oh, really? Okay.
I can't. I've been to Rush. Okay. AC/DC, God, I can't. Pink Floyd.
Oh wow!
I haven't
Pink
been to
Floyd,
a concert
geez.
In a while, but when I was, you know, when I was young down there, man, we used to go to a lot of shows and stuff. I'll probably forget like what I've even. Oh man, I remember. Man, you're bringing back memories, man. I saw the Beastie Boys and Run DMC.
Oh wow!
And I believe it must have been at the Capitol Center. That's a good memory. It's kind of weird to remember, you know, something that's kind of hip hop historical.
Yeah.
So long ago, and then it just, you know, I mean, that's a neat memory.
Not that much people can say that, like, they've seen the Beastie Boys and Run DMC live, because we're, like, that's a piece of history right there you got to watch.
Oh, I know, man, it really shows my age, too.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, and during that time, too, I was just really, actually, I was more into metal than anything else, you know, so I'm playing guitar and
but they had
that
rock-influenced sound, too, so I could see why you gravitated towards it.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
So with Spoke Wheel, too, this is a question that I ask all my guests at the end of each episode now. The reason why I ask this question is because we're all unique individuals out there, and everybody answers this question differently, too. And plus, when I listen to interviews, too, by some of my most favorite artists and producers, I like to hear, like, inspirational things, and you never know who it may help out there. So with that being said,
Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
I would just say that, that it's not as bad as you know, I don't want to sound unsympathetic. It's, life is worth living. Life is short, and if things are tough, you seek help. You'll get through it. And it's not as serious as you may think. It's just at the time it may seem serious, but the next day is has the potential to be a much better day.
Yeah, because you never know.
I do that justice, because you're asking is something it's kind of serious to me, and I wouldn't want to give bad advice on that.
No, because the way that I asked that question is because everybody has their own unique way of answering that question too, and that's the reason why I love about doing this, because you can talk to different people from all walks of life, and everybody has their different perspective on it, and it just makes going in tomorrow that much better too, because it's what you said too, you never know what tomorrow may bring.
You don't know, and I mean, I think that, people who, I'm not chronically depressed, and to say that I can understand some, I guess I'm referring to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You could be in a dark place, but, the next day you wake up and maybe it is better. There's hope. You could do something to make things better, and I mean, people have to be, proactive in their making their life better,
Oh, yeah, you got to take baby steps in order to make your life better, because it's not just going to come to you.
If you need help, and you should get help, hopefully that helps,
Yes, sir. Because you never know, there may be a young man out there who looks up to your beats, too. He's like, damn, I'm going to beast like Spoke Wheel next year.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So with that being said, Spoke Wheel, is there anything that you want to let the people know before I let you go? Where they can find you, or maybe we can find some of your beats? I'll post some of your beats when I post this interview as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You could always find me at SpokeWheel_music on Instagram. That's my main page that I use for music. I'm on Facebook and everything, same thing.
Okay.
But I really use Instagram a lot to post. If I make new beats, sometimes I post pictures of me, making a beat, or and then just posting, the music that I've been making, be it from acapellas or from artists, from various artists and things. So, Instagram is probably the best way to find me. And anyone can always reach out. If they're an artist or they're interested, get a beat or something.
I'm telling y'all, you need to reach out to Spoke Wheel, because, man, when you hear some of his beats, you're going to be like, Dad, I need a Spoke Wheel beat.
I appreciate it.
Anytime, my guy, Spoke Wheel. So with that being said, this is another classic interview. And I know I say classic a lot, but with a very humble soul, my guy, Spoke Wheel.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, man. I really do appreciate it.
Anytime, my guy. I just stopped the recording, Spoke Wheel. So I will be putting this interview out on Thursday of next week.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, what's your real name, man?
Oh, my real name's Logan.
Logan. Okay, it's Jay.
Okay, yeah. I didn't want to ask mid interview. It's like, so what's your real name? Yeah. So, gotta keep it professional.
Yeah, well, I know we all go by those names and all, but
okay. Yeah, Jay. I will. I always make the. So I'll be making the flyer announcing the guest for Monday, and then on Wednesday I make a promotional video just explaining who I interviewed, and then Thursday I make your cover art and then release the interview.
That's awesome, man.
All right, and then
thank you. I've never done. I mean, since we're talking off the recording, I've never done a recording. No one's asked me for an interview or anything, and it really does mean a lot. It means a lot.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.